Two. All right. Thank you, Grace, for that scripture reading. It comes from the life of Timothy. And Timothy is being encouraged by Paul to continue to stay faithful to the teachings of Jesus Christ. And there's a lot that we could take away from that scripture, but I'm really just wanting to focus on the first part about the physical training. Okay, but before we get into today's message, as always, let's just bow our heads and we're just going to pray. Holy Spirit, without you, this is meaningless. We need you to come and to speak to each of our hearts, to open our ears, to open our understanding of what is truth. I ask right now in the powerful name of Jesus that Holy Spirit, you would reveal to us what is true and what you desire for us to hear. May we not be distracted by anything else right now. And I pray that you would help me to decrease so that you may increase. And I am simply your vessel, your spokesperson, and I ask that you would guide my thoughts and guide my words. And may what I speak be spoken in love and be truth that will have the ability to transform our lives into looking more like Jesus Christ. And so we just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come right now and that you would move in each of our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, so I've been here now for 6 months. And over the last 6 months, we who have been here on Sundays and participating in Sunday school and fellowship, we've been on a journey over the last 6 months. And it's a journey I believe that we've been on where we have been understanding biblically through what the Bible says, through Jesus's teachings, what it means to be a disciple of Christ and what it means to be an authentic Christian. Because we've understood that is the goal of our life. If we have truly been born again, if we are a child of God and we have been transformed and we have been born again, then the goal of our life is to live as a disciple of Christ, to live as an authentic Christian, not just to be a good churchgoer. We've understood through Jesus's teachings that he has called us to radically follow him, to surrender our lives to him, and to pursue a life that he calls us into. What I've been attempting to do is build a biblical worldview, a worldview that is centered on the Bible, a worldview that is centered on the teachings of Jesus Christ, not a worldview that you have been accustomed to know, maybe growing up in Sunday school, or even a worldview that is rooted in your culture or in your tradition or in your family, but a biblical worldview. A worldview that is centered on the Bible and what God says is important. And we've been on this journey of understanding what does it mean to be a healthy church? What does it mean to be a healthy Christian according to the Bible? Not necessarily what we have understood about God and Christianity, but what God desires and what God says. I want to define what worldview is. According to the dictionary, worldview is the framework of beliefs and ideas that an individual or group uses to interpret and interact with the world. It influences our thought, our action, and perception, shaping one's understanding of reality, purpose, and values. Now, if we understand that we are all being influenced by something, Something is shaping our worldview. It might be social media. It might be the videos on TikTok. It might be our family, our culture, what we've grown up being accustomed to. But there is a framework of beliefs and ideas that is shaping or influencing how we think, how we act, how we perceive things in the world, and how we understand our present reality, our future reality, our purpose, and our value. Why are we here? What is our reason for being here? What is our purpose here on earth? There is something that is shaping all of these perceptions. Now, when we talk about what is a biblical worldview, well, a biblical worldview is a framework for understanding and interacting with the world that is rooted in the teachings of the Bible. Okay? So that's a framework, a worldview that is rooted in the teachings of the Bible. It serves as a lens or a pair of eyeglasses through which individuals interpret ideas, experiences, and choices, aiming to align their thinking and actions with biblical truths. So we need to understand that there is something for each of us right now that is shaping and influencing what we believe, what we value, and what we believe is our purpose in life. Now, for some of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we know that the Bible, for some of us, is not shaping our worldview. But for many of us, the Bible is shaping our worldview. That we are attempting to understand what God desires from us as Christians, according to His Word. What He desires for us as a church, according to His Word. Because it's His Word that needs to shape our worldview. That we need to understand what is our purpose and how we should be living according to the teachings of the Bible. Meaning that the Bible is meant to shape everything that we value, even our choices and how we live. So what lens are you looking through? How do you view the world? How do you view things that are around you? There are many different lenses that we can be looking through. I wear glasses, so I know a little bit about lens, but there are different lenses that we look at the world through, right? We can look at the world through a selfish lens, meaning that when we look at everything in our life, it's just centered around us. Everything is centered around what I want, what I think that I need. Everything is about me, 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 me. For some of us, our worldview, we have a lens that is focused on our culture. It's rooted in our culture, what we've kind of grown up with, the traditions that we've grown up with. That is the lens that we look at life with. For others, sadly, the lens is the society, the culture of the world. That is the worldview that is shaping our life. We hear things on YouTube or we hear things on TikTok or wherever it may be. And we get influenced by those thoughts, those ideologies, all of those different perceptions are influencing our worldview. But for us as Christians, our lens should be focused on the truth. That is the lens that we should be looking through. That is the lens that should be shaping our life and how we live. It should be the Word of God. Now, I've told you guys many times, I've been in ministry now for about 20 years. So I know that there are many people that you can come across in the church who say that they love God and they believe in Jesus and they are a follower of Christ and they come to church every Sunday. And yet still their worldview is not being shaped by the truth in God's Word. And the Bible calls that deception, being deceived, having an understanding about something, but not really understanding the truth of God's word. You see, most Christians think that their life is about being a good moral person. And the statement that I'm about to say, I will challenge anybody to look through the scripture and correct me if I'm wrong. But most Christians think that their life is about being a good moral person, avoiding evil and doing good, going to church. Most Christians think that their life is about going to church on Sunday, being a good moral person, getting a good career, building a family, and then retiring with some investments. That is the mindset and the worldview of many Christians. It's about being a good person, going to church on Sunday, building a good career, building a good life, building a good family, and then having a few investments when you retire. But you know, that's also, for most Chinese Christians, that is the worldview. It is about being a good person, about building a good career, building a good family, having a good education, making sure you have enough savings and money in the bank, and then when you retire, you have enough investments. That sounds good, right? Doesn't that sound like success? You would say, yes, Pastor Christian, that sounds very good. That is a good focus and priority in my life. But here is the problem. Jesus actually never said that any of those things are to be the sole focus of our life. And so if that is your worldview, and that is your current perception on what it means to be a successful Christian, then you are actually deceived. According to the Bible, you are not actually following the teachings of Jesus Christ. Your worldview has not been built on the foundation of truth or the foundation of God's word. Now you're saying, well, okay, Pastor Christian, what does that mean? Are you saying I shouldn't work? Some jobs in this life, they require an education? Of course not. The Bible actually talks about the things that we need in life. Food, clothing, and a shelter. And so if we need to work, yes, to provide for our needs. Some jobs do require an education, and that is needed. Some of us will have children. Some of us will have good careers. Some of us as Christians, we will build certain things and do certain things. Jesus is not saying, okay, well, don't do those things. But what Jesus is saying, are those the only things that you are focused on? Have they become an idol in your life? Were you forgotten about the purposes of Christ and the mission of Christ? And your life is only about yourself and what you can build in this life on this earth. And you're neglecting the fact that to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ means that there is a season where we need to grow as disciples. We need to understand God's word so that we can then go and teach others. That should be the main focus of every Christian. Are you here today and can you say honestly, yes, Pastor Christian, I'm on that journey of understanding God's word and growing as a disciple so that I can then go and make disciples. That is the goal of Christianity. That is the goal of every Christian, to become a disciple maker. And anything that you are focusing on outside of that goal, I say with sadness, sadly, you are sitting here today deceived. Not deceived by God, but deceived by our enemy, Satan, into thinking that the life you are living is good and pleasing to God, when in actuality, God is saying that is not the actual life that I desire for you, my child. He desires that we are living like Christ, focused on the same things that Christ was focused on. Now, I know when you hear this type of teaching, you guys are used to a certain type of teaching. But when you hear this type of teaching, it sounds like Jesus is asking you to nuke your life. Blow up your life. How can Jesus ask me to do all of these crazy, ridiculous things? What do you mean? Surrender? Pursue a life of suffering? Count the cost? Meaning before you become a Christian, think about what that's going to cost you. That you will need to give up certain things. You will need to give up certain priorities. You will need to give up certain things in your life that you want to follow Christ wholeheartedly. It sounds like Jesus wants to blow up our lives. That he wants to nuke our lives. Or maybe he wants to blow up what we've thought we've understood about what it means to be a true Christian. I think it's more that Jesus wants to redefine. He wants us to forget what we think we know and redefine our thinking and our worldview according to the Bible. Is Jesus asking us to nuke our life? Well, maybe. Because the early disciples nuked their life. They were living with a nice family. They were pursuing a nice career. And Jesus came along and said, leave all of that and follow me. Even for some, he said, don't be overly concerned right now with burying your dead mother. Come follow me. Jesus says that if you love anything in this life, your wife, your husband, your father, your mother, your child, more than him, we are not worthy to be his disciple. These are Jesus' words. This is Jesus' teaching. So is he asking us maybe to nuke our life, to blow up our life, or to blow up what we think we know? I think so, to some degree. He's asking us to let go of what we think we know and to wholeheartedly pursue him. Jesus wants us to follow him and live like he did. We hear that language so much in church. I've said it so many different times. And I can only pray that we understand what it really means to follow Jesus. For the early disciples, that means they came under the teaching of the rabbi. That Jesus was their master. He was their teacher. Everything Jesus did, they wanted to follow. That's what it meant in the Jewish culture to have a rabbi, to have a teacher. Is that if you were to follow them, it means you would follow them. You would copy their teaching. You would copy their lifestyle. You would copy everything about them. We've kind of distorted this in the church and we say, hey, follow Jesus. Well, what does that mean? Well, I come to church every Sunday. That's what it means to follow Jesus. Wrong. Or we think, okay, well, what it means is that I'm going to say that I love God, but I'm going to go and, you know, build my life, have a great career, have a great education, build my family. Again, wrong. That's not what it means to really follow Jesus. Jesus is saying, if you make the decision to follow him, understand that it radically means giving up your own life, your own way of thinking, and what you think is right, and you follow him, his teachings, you surrender. And you say, Jesus, I don't know everything, but I'm willing to surrender to you. That's what it means to follow Jesus. And I've already shared with you that sadly there will be many people on Judgment Day who stand before him and he will simply say, I never knew you. That you said that you loved me. You said that you were following me, but in actuality, you were not. You misunderstood what it meant to really follow Jesus. The Bible describes it that on that day, there's going to be a lot of weeping and gnashing of teeth. What does that mean? There's going to be many people who thought that they loved God. But when they stand before the creator of the universe, they are going to weep. They're going to cry. People will be on their knees in agony. Because they will come to the realization that throughout their journey and throughout their life, what they thought was true and they thought they were following Jesus was not actually true. The Bible calls it gnashing of teeth. People will be grinding their teeth in agony because they thought they were a Christian and they thought they were following God, but in actuality, they were just following themselves. They had no desire to become a true disciple of Christ. They had no desire to study the Word of God and to learn what God says about their life. They had no desire to go and to make disciples and to teach other people about Christ. These are all the things that Jesus teaches. The sad part about it is we haven't taken time to understand God's word because we've been busy and distracted with other things. As we learn God's word, we need to actively choose to tear down our worldview and build a worldview that is rooted in God's word and the teachings of Jesus. He wants to reconstruct our worldview. In Matthew 7, 24, it says, "Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock." What is Jesus saying here? Saying anyone here today who listens to his teaching and follows it is wise. Meaning that if you build your life on the teachings of Christ, when the challenges in life come, you won't get destroyed. When anxiety comes and depression comes and all of these different things come into your life, you will not get destroyed. Jesus says that even when you stand before him, if you listen to his teaching and follow it, that you are a wise person. You are intelligent. You are smart. You are wise if you do this. Okay? On the opposite end, but anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish. Like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and the floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. So anyone who hears and doesn't obey is foolish. What does it mean to love God? To love God means that we obey God. If we hear his teaching and we listen, we are wise. If we hear his teaching and we don't obey, the scripture calls that foolishness, that we are foolish. Let me throw two things at you to challenge you with whether or not you are listening to Christ's teaching. Christ says, commit yourself, meditate on his word day and night. Study the Bible to show yourself approved, your salvation to be true. Study the word of God. Are you obeying that teaching? Are you listening to that teaching? The word of God, Jesus' teaching says, well, go into all the world and make disciples, preach the gospel. When was the last time we shared our faith with somebody? Or had a conversation with somebody about God? Two simple truths of where we can start to build our life on the teachings of Jesus. Number one, are we committed to studying the Bible? And number two, are we committed to sharing the gospel with others? Two simple truths to kind of test if we are hearing. Are we wise or are we foolish? Part of being a healthy church means that we are focused on being a training facility. Okay, the church has kind of gotten away from this concept where even as pastors and leaders, there are many who are just satisfied with you coming here on Sunday, giving your tithe and your offering, singing a few songs, listening to a message, fellowshipping, and then going home. That was never God's design or desire or focus of what the church was meant to be. Part of his desire is that the church becomes a training facility, that we gather on Sunday to worship God, love one another, grow as a family, and also to be equipped and encouraged to go out into the world and share the gospel. Discipleship and equipping should be the main or our main focus of any healthy church. The Bible says, hey, it's my job to equip and to teach you, to train you, to disciple you. It's not my job to disciple your friends or to go to your school and tell people about Jesus. It's my job to train you and to equip you and to encourage you and to love you and spur you on and tell you that you can do it even though you think you cannot. And then it's your job to leave here on Sunday, go wherever you go during the week, and to share the good news about Jesus Christ. To tell people that there is a message of hope, that there is a message that can save. There is a message of a real reality, not just what we see here on earth, but there is a real reality that is to come. This is our job as the church, and this is what it means to be a healthy church. And why are we so focused, or why do we need to be so focused on being a training facility? Well, the reality is that many people are dying and going to hell. We don't think about that very often. We leave after church, we go home, we say, well, hey, I'm good. I got food at home. I'm about to watch the Jays game tonight. Life is good. I'm going into my week. I have school. We're not focused on the people around us who are not disciples of Christ, who are actually dying and eternally separated from God. And Christ is trying to remind us to get back to being a healthy church, because there are people around you in your school, people around you at work, who need to hear this message. And if you don't tell it, then maybe they will never have the opportunity to hear it. And so now is not the time to be shy or to think about, well, you know, they might not like me. Or, you know, they might think something different about me. Now is the time to be bold and to be courageous and to share this good news. People are dying and going to hell, meaning they are eternally, forever separated from God. And Jesus wants us as Christians and his church to take that very seriously. We need to stop thinking only about ourselves and think about what really matters eternally. And I'm going to just be honest with you guys. It goes beyond a once-a-year mission trip. It is great that we do local missions with TCM. And it is great that we do overseas missions in Honduras. But becoming a disciple of Christ means that daily you are on a mission. And daily you are looking for the opportunities to declare this message of hope and freedom and peace to a dying and broken world. But are you on that journey of being equipped in the Word of God? Are you on that journey of becoming a disciple? Are you on that journey of preaching the gospel and telling others about Christ? This is what it means to follow him. for however long God desires for me to be here as your leader and as your pastor. I will do my best to make it a priority to equip you and to have us focused on training. And I know many of you have already chosen to do that. Okay, I know, I understand what the scripture, what the Bible says. There will be very few in every church that genuinely desire to study the Word of God and become disciples of Christ. But the majority, many according to Christ, will just want to come here on Sunday, feel like they're doing God a favor, and then go home. That's been the reality of every church community that I've been a part of. There are always a few, the Bible calls it a remnant of people who are actually serious about their relationship with God, serious about their faith, and serious about the eternal realities of heaven and hell. And there are many who are just deceived and will just continue life as normal and think that they are actually pleasing God by showing up on Sunday, yet they have no desire to study the Bible or grow as a true disciple. And Jesus says that's cool because they existed in his day too. He actually doesn't care too much about the choices people make because everybody has the ability to make their own choice. But what he does care about is, are you serious about hearing and listening and following his truth? What will be the choice you make in relation to hearing his teaching and following it and becoming a wise person? I can only pray and hope that you will not be casual and lazy with your faith, but that you will take it seriously. And as long as I'm here, I will provide the best opportunities for all of us to be trained and to be equipped. And why today is probably a little bit of a more serious message is because we're about to transition. We've been talking about building the right foundation, building a strong foundation. I've been teaching you guys about what it means to be a genuine born-again Christian, what it means to be a healthy church. That's all foundational stuff. Remember when Andrew was here drinking from a baby bottle? That's all baby food. We're about to move on to solid food because I believe that we're ready now to move on to where we eat the solid meat, the steak. Okay, so it's no more about the milk or the baby food. We're about to get into the teachings of Jesus Christ that are going to be the solid food that's going to actually help you grow as a true disciple of Christ. 1 Timothy, from our reading today, 4:7-9 says, instead, train yourself to be godly. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Who should accept it? Everyone. It says, physical training is good. How many of you go to the gym on a regular basis? Okay, good for you, not me. I need to be motivated by Andrew. He's looking really good these days. But my friend Modestus here, I know he hits the gym. If you see Modestus without his sweater, like in a tank top, this guy's tanked. I think he should have become a cop or something. But he's built, right? We know naturally physical training is good. If you exercise, you run, you walk, you do some sort of lifting of weights or physical training, that's a very good thing. It says it's good for your heart, it's good for your energy, it's good for your sleep, it's good for your health, it's good for all of these things. I need to do more of that. Okay, and my wife can attest to that. Okay, physical training is good. But according to the Bible, training for godliness is much better. Okay? So physical training, yes, good. Training for godliness, how do we train for godliness? We commit to studying the Bible. We commit to reading the Bible. We commit to meditating on the Bible. God, okay, what do you want from me? Who do you say I am? What is my identity in you, God? How should I be living? It's right here. The problem is most Christians don't actually pick this up and read it in their week. You guys come here and you wait for the pastor to teach you the word of God. And yet God is saying, no, that's not how you learn the word of God. Pick up a Bible for yourself and start to read it. And then ask God, God, if that's what you say, how do I obey it? If I say that I love you, how do I obey your word? If I say I want to follow you, how do I obey your word? Training for godliness is much better. And there's a promise here. It says there will be benefits in this life. If you commit to training for godliness and you commit to studying the word of God, well, there will be benefits in this life. What will that be? Well, when you get hit hard with a reality in your life, and yes, bad things happen to Christians. If you've ever thought that, oh, I follow Jesus and everything's going to be great in my life, get rid of that type of thinking. Because as a Christian, yes, some young Christians lose their parents to cancer. Christians die in car accidents. Christians die on planes. Christians die from diseases and sicknesses. Christians around the world get beheaded and get killed for their faith in Jesus Christ. So the Christian life and following Christ does not mean blessing and prosperity. But if you build your life on the truth of Jesus Christ, it means, like Jesus said, that when those storms come, when those challenges come, when those difficult times come, you will not lose your faith. You will not lose hope, but you will stay strong. So there's benefits in this life for training for godliness, but also in the life to come. That when you stand before God and he will see our effort and our commitment to studying his word and becoming a disciple of Christ, well, there will be a benefit in that life to come as well. Because we will hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Not, depart from me, I never knew you. So there are benefits in this life and in the life to come. And why I say that we are transitioning a bit now is that I'm going to start to teach you guys how to become a soldier. Okay? This is what it means to follow Christ. It means that as Christians, we start to think and we start to live like soldiers. Is that a soldier in the Canadian Army? No, that's not what I mean. According to the Bible, we are in a war. We are in a battle. And if we think that we can just casually come to church on Sunday, then go back to our lives in the week, I guarantee you, the enemy will destroy your life. And many of you, 1 year, 2 years from now, you won't even want to hear the name of Jesus Christ. That has been a true fact of every church community that I've been a part of as well. But if you commit yourself to training for godliness, and you commit yourself to training yourself in the teachings of Jesus Christ and growing as a soldier of Christ in God's army, I can almost guarantee you that if you have been truly born again and the Holy Spirit lives inside of you and you commit to following Christ according to what Christ says is how we should follow him, then you will not only not lose your faith, you will not get killed by the enemy, you will not be destroyed as a Christian, but you will also make a huge impact in the world and make a difference for Jesus and make a difference in this world. And this is what it means to be a follower of Christ. And I will tell you honestly, me, I am okay. Come here every Sunday, warm that blue chair if you need to. But if you would like to genuinely follow Christ and become a soldier of Christ, meaning that you're going to understand there are more battles that we are facing than we think. If you want to become a soldier, then we're going to start to go on that journey, and it's going to require us to eat some serious food, some solid meat. No more of that baby food, no more of that milk, but it's going to be solid food. And again, you will build a strong foundation of faith in your own life, but I believe that you will also make a huge impact in this world because people are dying and going to hell. And if you just want to choose to be on the sidelines and sit back and say, well, hey, I got my life to live, that's not part of my reality, then that's your choice. But if you want to choose to do something about the fact that people are dying and going to hell and choose to make a difference in this world for God, then there will be the opportunity for us to now grow. And it will be my privilege and honor to start to teach you how to think and how to act like a soldier, not a casual Christian that comes to church on Sunday, but a soldier of Jesus Christ. And that's actually in the scripture as well, that this is what it means to follow him. We are soldiers. And we are fighting a real battle with a real enemy who has a real plan for this world. And we need to begin to understand what that looks like and understand that if we have God on our side and Holy Spirit living inside of us, then there is nothing that we need to fear in this life, in this world. And that we can be victorious and we can actually fight for the souls of other people. And so I know that today's message, it's a bit of a transition. And as I was preparing it, I just felt Holy Spirit say, well, we need to now move into this season of where we're actually getting trained and equipped to make a real difference in the world around us. And this is what it means to be a healthy church. We will begin training. And this will become a training facility, okay? Not with the lifting weights and the doing the jumping jacks and doing the push-ups and doing the sit-ups. Although, yeah, maybe we could do that. That would be good every now and then. But we're going to get trained in the Word of God. And we're going to get trained in understanding our true identity in Christ and what it means to think and live as a soldier of Jesus Christ. And to be engaged in the battle. Okay, like if you've ever made a sports team, like I made the basketball team one time when I was in high school, and I played like 2 minutes for the whole season. I was like, coach, I'm good. I can do some things on the court. But he just never believed in me. There were always guys that I guess were doing different things, and I was a bit rambunctious in his health class. So I don't know, maybe if it was like a punishment. He never actually put me on the court. But it's not like I wanted to be on the sidelines just watching the game. But there are some Christians that choose to do that. If you've ever made a team, whether it be volleyball or soccer or ping pong, whatever it is, you actually want to play. Or baseball. Nobody wants to sit on the bench and watch the game. You want to play. That was my feeling. I didn't want to sit on the bench. I wanted to play. But we have to be careful that we don't become that type of Christian. where we just sit on the sidelines and then we watch everybody else in the game doing the things for God, living for God, making disciples, passionate about their faith. We all need to get in the game. And God wants all of us to get into the game. He doesn't want us sitting on the sidelines. He wants us all to participate and be a part of this healthy church and this healthy body that he says can have purpose and can live for him and make a real difference in the world. So if you've been sitting on the sidelines for some time, it's time to get in the game. It's time to get serious. It's time to get real. And if you have been in the game, well, continue to train to get stronger. Increase your skills and your ability to continue to do the things that God has called us to do. And so whatever the training looks like in this upcoming season, maybe you will be lifting the weight for the first time, or you've already done some training and you will just be building on that. Well, praise God, that's great. But whatever it looks like, we will start to train as soldiers. Last story. I remember when I was in the Canadian Army, me and a few friends, when we were in college, we decided to join the Army. Worst idea I ever made. My friend was like, hey man, look at this flyer. We can get paid $8,000 for the summer. Why don't we do it? I'm like, yeah, $8,000 sounds good for a summer. Back then, that was really good money. So I signed up. But the training was intense. We kept asking ourselves, why did we sign up for this? Wake up at 4 a.m. in the morning, some guy clapping his hands. Wake up, time to go. You get all your gear, you go outside, you're running for like 5 hours. And then you would think you'd be doing a good job, you're running ahead of people. You say, okay, you want to be like that, leaving your soldiers behind? Get down and give me 100 push-ups right now. And give me the push-ups until all of your friends catch up with you. Then we would go to eat a breakfast in the morning. As soon as we were done eating, we're like, yeah, yeah, nice meal, nice meal. Drop and give me 100. Gravel road on our hands right after every meal. And the training never stopped. By the nighttime, we were done. And that same commanding officer would be in our room 4 a.m. every day, Monday to Saturday. Wake up, time to go, it's time to train. And that was 2 months of my life in the summer. The money was not worth it, trust me. But the training was intense. And so my point in sharing that is that sometimes the training doesn't feel good at first. But you know, I came out of that summer stronger. I understood more and actually closer to God, because if God was not with me, I could not make it through any of that. And so sometimes the training is painful. Sometimes we don't enjoy it. Sometimes it's not exactly what we want to do. But again, like the scripture said, it promises benefits in this life and in the life to come. But the choice we have to make is, are we willing to commit to the training? Are we willing to go on that journey? Are we willing to sacrifice our time and know that it is something that will produce wonderful results? Okay? And so we're going to start that training. Let me just pray for us. Father, I just thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth, God. And God, I know that today's message was longer, maybe stronger, I don't know, but I believe that it was from you, Holy Spirit. And I just pray that for any of us who are desiring to actually take our training seriously, that we would commit to that process, that we would find joy in training for godliness, in training to become a soldier of Christ. Because we will understand that there is a real battle going on in the world. Not a physical battle, but a spiritual battle. And people are dying and going to hell, eternally separated from you, God. And you want your church to be that training facility. You want your church to grow into being the true disciples of Christ that you have desired from the beginning of time. That we take our faith seriously, that we get in the game, and that we are willing to train. Yes, God, we will need to go to school, we will need to work, we will need to do all of these things. But at the same time, we will need to fight to find a way to make sure that these things have not become an idol in our life and distracted us from what our real purpose is as Christians. And that is to know you, God, to love you, which means to obey you, and to grow as your disciple. So I pray that you would give us a revelation and a vision of what that looks like, individually and as a church. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would protect us and that you would surround us as we go on this journey of training and eating meat. Everything that we've learned up to this point has been a good foundation, God. But now we're going to get serious about building on that foundation and taking our training to the next level. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would lead us and you will guide us. In your name we pray. Amen.
That's right.
Thank you, Pastor Christian. Yes. Are we ready to be trained? Ready to follow?
That was scary.